the Pastor's Heart and Dominic Steele, and thanks for joining us today. COVID-19 and pastors leading through the crisis. What a difference just a few days has made. Friday, 1,000 teenagers gathered in Wollongong and 100 or so coming to Christ. An extraordinarily exciting time. And today, President Trump has banned gatherings of 10 or more. Unprecedented change and pressure on us as pastors and leaders in the people of God, and there are so many things to work through. We've got three guests to talk to today. Dr. Imgard Pasco, a doctor, general practitioner with an interest in immunology and public health, and lead doctor for the Church Missionary Society in New South Wales. Pastor Eugene Hoare, lead English pastor for Grace Point Presbyterian Church in Burwood in Sydney, and Bishop Gary Koo, Anglican bishop in Australia in Sydney, former doctor and thrown in the deep end, leading the task force for the Sydney Anglican Church on this COVID-19 response. Before we come to them, can I ask you to get behind the Pastor's Heart? There's three or four of us work on this program, and we have a vision to help pastors around the world, but we do need to cover our costs and the wages of our little team. And if you were able to help us by going to patreon.com/thepastorsheart and joining us at, say, $5 a month, that'd be a good place to start. We would appreciate that. Now, perhaps we're thinking the Pastor's Heart and leading through crisis. But before we go to the logistics and things like that, let's start with our heart. And Eugene, what's God been doing in your heart this last week or so?
Well, the last 36 hours, or actually 48 hours, have been incredibly challenging. Most people are aware that with COVID-19, day by day, everything has changed. And it has been stressful, you know, because when you lead a community of people, you worry about them. And so in the last 48 hours, I think our elders and I, we sat down and I think we made the decision to suspend our services for the next 3 weeks and go to online Sunday worship. Mm-hmm. That's been the challenge for us. I think, you know, as I've reflected in the last 48 hours, I've had time to think a bit more. I think we realized that it was important for us to guide our people well. And I've also worked out it's important to see it as a growing opportunity. And it is a growing opportunity for people because if you think about it, it's an opportunity to teach that God is sovereign, providentially in control. It's an opportunity for us also to remind our people that church is not the physical location on Sunday, isn't it? Because church is, you know, and I did say this on Sunday because we spoke at all our congregations to tell them what was happening. Church is God's people in God's places for the time being, and they will still meet around God's word. And I think it was good to remind people of that, and I think people need to actually be reminded of that. And so it's also an option to grow our people, and that's what we've been thinking through, and that's what we're thinking through right now as we meet with our small groups to prepare them for Sunday worship through the live stream.
Well, we'll come to some of those logistic issues in a minute. Gary, God, your heart, what's been happening?
About halfway through last year, I was rebuked. Rebuked by the fact that I believe that God is God and can do anything, but I don't expect Him to do anything a lot of the time, that I'm so self-reliant, so focused on strategy and planning and practice, and I just didn't have an openness. So one of the things I've been working on is having an openness to God being, we're having an expectation that God will grow His church, that the impossible is possible. And that, you know, it's not all about me and practice. So it's been actually both challenging and a great relief as well, just to see things through that lens, which is interesting given the times that we're in now.
Imgard, you've had an extraordinary week treating patients on Saturday and then working with CMS yesterday and thinking about their response. What's God been doing on your heart?
I think God has been challenging me to really think about how we care for people, particularly how to care for those who are very anxious, who are very isolated, who themselves may be at high risk. I think that while we need to think about, you know, the big picture, we also need to think about the individual. So thinking about the CMS staff member in at the office, and those who are feeling very worried and who themselves have health conditions, and how to help and encourage them. Also, I'm not so involved with the missionaries overseas, but obviously some of them are, you know, very worried and scared at this present time. Some have significant health conditions. We've been trying to work out whether we should bring them home and what that will involve. So I think just really seeing every person as precious, not just a number. Thinking about, you know, each of the families that have been affected all over the world, and just trying to not see it as something that just affects me, you know, and okay, I'm actually in pretty good health, and my immediate family is in pretty good health, but how can I actually help others? How can I think about the vulnerable people in our street? You know, I've been speaking to one of them who I've informed that, you know, I'll be available to help him should he need help. And so I think just trying to balance, you know, the concern, the anxiety, the actual panic that I have, particularly of patients on the phone, they're all extremely worried, just trying to keep things very sensible all around.
Well, I mean, you talk anxiety and... I mean, for us in church, we've got on the one hand people who are highly anxious, and on the other hand, some people are actually quite blasé about
absolutely.
All of this. Let's go to you, Gary, and I'm imagining you've had quite a few phone calls from ministers, and some of them conveying the anxiety of people in their church. What, tell us about some of those calls and the advice you've been giving.
It is interesting. I was speaking to a couple of ministers over the last few days. I've had calls from their parishioners saying, "You're crazy for running church this Sunday. What are you doing?" Yet I do know there are people in their churches saying, "Why are we so alarmed about this?" So there is a sense that those in our leadership teams in churches, whatever they decide, will be wrong to somebody in their church. So we need to be encouraging our leaders and actually being gracious towards them and praying for their wisdom during a time where information is coming out and changing rapidly.
And actually... well, there's two issues really there. We're going to make different decisions, you know, and different leaders in different local situations and in different countries are going to make different decisions. Now, Eugene, you've been running ahead of, I mean, you made the announcement last...
We made the announcement on Sunday.
On Sunday, right. And you were texting me on Friday and Saturday as your decision-making process was...
Correct. So I think when we spoke on Thursday...
Yeah.
We were just going to run services as normal, but things changed so quickly over the weekend.
Now, but you've got a very, you've got quite a different context to me. I mean, you and I, we're only 5 kilometres
That's
away
right.
geographically,
right.
but 99% of your congregation is from Asia. And
so our church has got English-speaking congregations made out predominantly second generation Chinese. We've also got Chinese-speaking congregations, and so the Chinese-speaking congregations made the decision on Friday to go live stream and to give people the option to stay at home. Numbers, I think, because numbers have dropped quite substantially.
You've had massive falls. You were telling me
in the Chinese congregations. I told Dominic that, and Gary would find this interesting. This time last year, we probably have 400 in our Chinese-speaking congregations. That has dropped to 280. And I suspect in the next few weeks that's just going to keep dropping. And our English congregations have been fine except for last week.
Well, I mean, that's what happened to us. We've been running 10% up all year.
Yeah, correct.
And then suddenly last Sunday we were 23%
right.
down.
Yeah.
So that's a 30% drop in a week. What's the feedback you're getting from churches across the place, Gary?
I think when COVID-19 first emerged, a lot of our Chinese congregations were almost halved. But over the next month, the numbers started to pick up again. And I dare say with the developments over the weekend, like Eugene was saying, the numbers would just drop again. So I think, you know, again, it really rides on the news cycle and what the government's doing. But there was an initial hit from people from China, especially, and then growing confidence, and then... whoosh.
Now, what have you found as you've attempted to exercise calm leadership, Eugene?
What have I found? I found that it's really, really hard to make decisions. I'm thankful we've got elders who make the decisions as a group. So I don't feel isolated in making that decision. So I think it was a leadership decision. It was not an easy decision to make, I think, because we're always thinking of how do we care for people who... are part of our church community but who are not in a small group. And so that was hard. So the last 48 hours we've been trying to work out how do we actually care for people who are here on Sunday but who are not connected for a variety of reasons. And so I think we're scrambling, and we've been scrambling the last 24 hours to work out how we can care for them and include them in worship. So I think that's been one of the biggest challenge. The logistics side, I think it's an administration thing, but it's how do we care for people at this time? So I said on Sunday to all our congregations, we want to make sure, church is family, and we want to make sure that no one is alone in the next few weeks. And so we've said that, and you know, pastors can't do that by themselves. They need congregation members to do that. And we reminded people the only way to do that, if you've understood the eternal hope of the gospel, because it will make you neither fearful nor careless. Because if you're afraid, you'll run and hide. If you're careless, you won't think of how to love and care for other people, and you won't you know, you won't self-isolate when you're feeling unwell. And so that's really, really important. We've said that to our congregation, church is family. We want to make sure no one gets left behind and no one's isolated in the next few weeks. I can't do it by myself. Our elders can't do it. And the hope of the gospel actually makes us neither fearful and neither careless. And that's what we've shared with them.
Now, Ingrid, you're in quite a different situation to the church that Ingrid, that Eugene's just described. You're at St. Andrew's Cathedral.
That's right.
Right in the centre of town with lots of transient people coming through. How have you guys attempted to navigate things the last week or so?
We've been making some fairly basic decisions. For example, everyone was offered hand sanitizer when they came in. We were extremely careful as the way we administered the Lord's Supper.
Although that's going to go really.
Although that's probably it. I've asked for things like the water coolers to be removed, the fans to be removed, the Bibles to be removed.
Fans being removed is kind of. You think, yeah, because that actually moves droplets around the building.
And if you've got a fever, you're probably going to want to sit in front of the fan. So sort of things like that, our numbers are definitely down and people are definitely moving away from each other. And it's actually very difficult because there is suspicion about a stranger, perhaps, or someone you haven't met before. And so I was very conscious of, you know, talking to a lady and she's moving away. And I think that's very sad, but unfortunately it's probably quite necessary at this stage.
Gary, I'm watching some of my peers just, if you like, transmit unfiltered the anxiety that they're getting from their congregation members, and actually some of them leading in kind of knee-jerk panic, and yet others exhibiting calm leadership. Can you tell us about what you're urging people to do in this situation? Because I'm imagining you're having the same experience that I am.
It goes back to what, you know, what we're saying happens in churches also happens in the broader church community in terms of why isn't so-and-so doing what I'm doing or what I want to do? And I think...
Eugene's made a different decision to me at this stage. We're still running a meeting. But I'm not critical of him.
I think there needs to be some kindness and some generosity, understanding that pastors pastor their congregations, make decisions with the information they have available about what is best and loving for their communities. And actually, our communities are different. So some of us have more elderly people in our church communities. We need to be very aware of that in terms of their vulnerability. Some of us have ethnic congregations for whom contact for overseas visitors and anxiety and other issues becomes an issue. Some people have congregations predominantly younger people. So everybody needs to make their own decisions. And I think we need to be very careful not to judge each other at this time or even try to justify our own decisions by projecting our decisions onto other people.
I mean, because we have two young congregations, we did have to explain to them that it might not affect you, but we're taking this as a precautionary measure, because not just because we love you, but because we also love our wider community. And I say, and you have extended family who are vulnerable. You have grandparents, and so we said, you know, look, this is not just about you. The gospel actually mandates that we love others, and this is one of the ways we felt we could do that.
What about leading from the Word of God? Because, I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to lead our people to know God and trust God. And, I mean, I was thinking about ourselves. We've been preaching through Mark. We've got James scheduled for after Easter. but I'm just beginning to think, oh, I'm not sure we should keep going on that strategy. Maybe we ought to be actually speaking into this crisis more clearly. What have you thought about that?
So we were doing a series on ACTS, and obviously with what's happening in the next few weeks, we've actually decided we're going to take a break. We think it's important to speak into what's happening to actually remind people that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still remains King. And so over the next 3 weeks, we've changed our series, even though we're doing it through live stream. We're looking at Psalm 91, God is our refuge in these times. We're looking at 2 Corinthians 1, God being the God of comfort. Yeah, and then we're looking at James 1, finding joy in adversity. And I think it's a good reminder for our people, especially at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gary, have you thought about that, and what have you been advising other people to do?
Well, I was speaking at Rouse Hill Anglican this Sunday. I was going to speak on Luke 7. And I rang the rector and said, look, actually this week, given all that's happening, can I speak on Luke 13 instead? Just to help pastor people through the anxiety they're feeling and understand this crisis. And
you're thinking Tower of Siloam.
Tower of Siloam. And I guess the big thing about that is we're not God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a human limitation and how we should rightly respond in this situation. So I thought, pastorally, you know, that's how we care for people. Well, teach them the scriptures.
I mean, just give us a few of your thoughts on Luke 13. I mean, you've obviously been cooking it in the heads.
There's a sense
that... is it the word of God useful to bring to people?
Has this infection come because of a specific sin? Have we done something specifically that's led to this? No. We live in a fallen, broken world. The world is not as it should be. Actually, we should expect. We never enjoy it, but we should expect things to happen, like a pandemic. Yet the right reaction to that is, even though we're not personally, individually responsible for bringing this on ourselves, is to turn to God and seek Him out, seek to trust Him and listen to Him and live for Him. I think that's what we've got to see. It's the lens through which we view this.
Mm.
We live in a fallen world. We need to turn to God because we're humans.
Mm. Mm. And actually, I think a crisis is actually a really good time to engage people on what God's word speaks into in that area. People are going to be much more motivated to hear you on this topic at the moment. It feels like I'm tempted to... just completely retreat into just somehow holding my thing together. But how do I actually think about love and mission in this changed climate and caring for people beyond? Yeah. What have your thoughts been on that, Eugene? Because you don't want to just go...
So for us, the next 3 weeks and possibly beyond is not to bunker down and just ride it through. I think it's if you're thinking like that, it's a wasted opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to think about directing our people upward in word and prayer. I mean, Gary just alluded to that. I think that's really, really important. It's an opportunity to grow our people in maturity, independence, and prayer. I'm going to say to my leaders, and I've got a meeting with them, that we've got to be convinced that the word is what people need at this time. And so our people need the word, and they need to be depending on God in prayer. So we want to do that. We want to direct them inward in love for each other. We've got to make sure we care for each other and to serve each other this time.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I was going to say this evening to our leaders is we want to say to them, it's an opportunity to look outward in mission. Because here is a great opportunity. Church is going to be in many different places, in different ways, in different places for a while. I said, and people will be lonely in the apartment blocks where you live in. People will have needs on your street. Look, when you do the Good Friday in your home, or Easter, if we have to do that, invite people to your homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people have said to me, that's a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, look, you know, COVID is a risk. There's about 7-8 of you in a room. Guess what? The church in China that meets in homes, having people in their homes is also a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a risk. It's just a different kind of risk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be careless, but don't be fearful as well.
Mm-hmm.
Be wise. So there's great mission opportunities. We had someone knock on their neighbor's door and offered them toilet paper,
mm-hmm.
being quite practical about that. And so there's ways to reach people. People who are anxious, share the hope of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. As you say that, I mean, I'm thinking about my friend Roger Fitzharding, who said he set up a Facebook group for his street. just how we can care for each other.
Absolutely.
If somebody is self-isolating, I could go shopping for you. Now, how much more likely is that person to accept an invitation to his place on Easter Sunday?
Absolutely.
After he's been shopping for them than it was before when they just waved at each other in the street.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
it's so, it's a totally different mission strategy to the one we had with Luther Simons and Matt Varco a fortnight ago.
That's right.
But it could actually
work. And work. I think it's what we need to do. We need to love people in practical ways at the time.
You're hearing things along these lines, Gary?
I'm exactly the same type of things. There's opportunities. I mean, opportunities as in terms of kindness. You know, kindness. I mean, again, such a counterpoint to the selfishness and the mass panic we're seeing in some parts of the community. But again, that whole sense of we are as advanced and educated and as wealthy as we've ever been as human society, here is something beyond our control. So mortality and human limitation always also speak to our need for God at this point.
I mean, it really is pushing us as a church to think of how we do our mission quite differently. But but you know, I said on Sunday, our vision and our mission has not changed. Church has not changed. Like, we're not meeting as a large group, but we're still meeting as God's people in different places under God's word. So vision and mission hasn't changed. What we do or don't do in a physical building on Sunday doesn't define us. We're still God's people.
I felt rebuked. I was reading on our Annandale Facebook group. This is the community of Annandale Facebook group, and somebody's just written, free errand services for the elderly and people with disabilities, need to supply food or medicine run, parcels picked up, keen to minimise your exposure. I've got a car, I'm happy to help, personal message me. I've got a young child, I want to minimise my own risk, so I'm not offering taxi services, but I'm happy to run an errand for you. And I just thought, isn't that awesome? And wouldn't have been cool if our church was setting the lead on that
absolutely.
Point, you know? And so, I mean, I've got to go and have a conversation about that, but we've got an opportunity to be sharing Christ's love in a way that we haven't before. Now, money, what about the impact on the plate? Do you know, because we've got a finely balanced budget, and it's premised on the idea that there are more people going to come to our church this year than last year, and it's not feeling like that's going to happen right now. Yeah, how are you feeling about that?
I'm probably not a stress because we have a younger congregation, and I guess younger congregations tend to give by direct debit. So our giving is probably 97% by direct debit. But I do know that other ethnicities, they give on a Sunday. And so I know ministers who are feeling that stress and you know, who've communicated to me, what are we going to do? Because we've got to work out how we keep ministry going. And that's a challenge. And I actually don't have an answer to that one.
You've been talking to people about that, Gary?
There are people contacting us saying, you know, what are we going to do about the financial stress that we may face? I mean, the initial encouragement, of course, is to encourage people to give electronically as many as possible, but ethnicity and age can go against that. But as an organisation, we are thinking about, are there any things that we can do to help people ride this wave? And here's the problem. We don't know how long this wave is going to go for.
How long is it going to go for, Impact?
How long is a piece of string? Actually, what I thought was very interesting was that there's some new Medicare item numbers available for GPs for this particular situation, and they have given them to us for 6 months.
Right.
So I think that is unfortunately probably not reassuring for everyone, but it could well be months that we're facing this.
And so whatever we plan for our churches, we shouldn't be saying, I mean, I know you've said 3 weeks, but it can't
I actually shouldn't say this because there's probably some people from our church who are watching this. I think we said 3 weeks because, look, I don't want to be alarmist. And I want us to prepare. And so we've said to our church, we will be monitoring and assessing and letting them know over the next 3 weeks. So leading up to Easter is a good time for us. So we're monitoring. But, you know, as everyone keeps telling me that I'm being too optimistic if I think that Good Friday and Easter we're going to go back to our normal services.
Well, I'm just thinking we printed 10,000 leaflets a fortnight ago. We gave them out to people to leaflet the suburb. And it's kind of all saying celebrate Easter, whereas I want to be thinking, Easter in a time of crisis now, and I want to be thinking, how do I do it in the home? If we come to that, I don't know if we're going to come to that, but it's totally changing our planning. What's your prayer, Gary?
My prayer would be that God's people would be loving at this time, loving towards each other, but loving towards the community and putting the welfare of those around them, both physical and spiritual, before their own. Mm-hmm. I think this is a great time for us to stand up and model Christ to everyone around us.
Mm. Eugene?
My prayer, and I've been praying this for the last few days, is that God would be glorified, His people would be strengthened, His people would not be afraid, they would serve each other in love, and they would reach out to the lost and the anxious at this time.
Mm. Yeah. Ingo?
Well, I've been praying to the Lord of the coronavirus because He is sovereign and in control. Mm-hmm. And so just for everyone to be wise and loving and careful and I guess just live each day as we are blessed with that day by God, because we don't know what the future is. But that's the same for everyone at any time.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's been, I just was reading 1 Timothy 2 yesterday, about praying for kings and those in authority, that we might live quiet lives, and we want to see people come to repentance. Yes. And it feels like life is not quiet at the moment, and how can we get on with the business of seeing people come to repentance?
That's right.
But then also just praying for my pastor peers and calm leadership. So why don't we pray? Do you want to kick us off and we'll just pray about these things?
I'd love to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are in control of all things, that You are God of all. And we just pray, Father, that during this time of difficulty and crisis, that while we need to be wise and active, that we would not forget to come before You in humility and dependence and trust. We do ask, Father, that You would strengthen us, but You also give us hearts that yearn for Your leading and Your work during this time. Amen.
Amen. Father, we look to You as the God who is sovereign of all. We thank You for Your providential care. We thank You that even now You love Your people. You desire for the gospel, the eternal hope of the gospel, to be brought to all across our city at this time. We do pray, Father, that for calm and wise leadership in our churches, we pray for our people, Father, that they would be neither fearful or careless, but they might anchor, Father, in the eternal hope of the gospel, and they might spur them on to look upward to You in dependence, to look to serve each other in love, and to look to reach out with the love of the Lord Jesus to those who are anxious and isolated and who are lost. We just want to commit this to You as the God who is sovereign, the God who is providentially in control, and the God who is working out His purposes for Your glory and the good of all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, help us to keep trusting in You. Help us to be loving others more than ourselves. Help us to be careful, wise, loving, reassuring to others. And Father God, we just pray for the many opportunities that will come our way, that You will help us to really use them to Your glory. In Your Son's name, amen.
And Father, we pray to You for kings and those in authority. We pray for the leaders globally in a secular sense, for Boris Johnson, for Donald Trump, for Scott Morrison, the leaders in so many other countries, as they make decisions under extraordinary pressure, with lots of different views, arguing for all different perspectives. We pray that You'd give them calm heads, that they might be able to make good decisions for the benefit of the people of those countries, these countries. We pray for quiet lives, that we might be able to live in godliness and holiness. And we pray that this would be possible so that people might come to repentance and faith and to trust You. Lord, we pray for the mission of the church in this non-quiet time, in this uncertain time. And we pray that You would help us to hold out the word of life, that men and women and boys and girls might be saved. We pray that in this time when people are so quickly focusing on their physical issues, people might actually be able to have the clear head to turn to eternal issues and spiritual relationship and what actually matters. We pray that actually the real essential of knowing Christ Jesus would not be seen as a non-essential issue, but as the most essential issue. And we pray for those of us, we pray for my brother pastors who are in senior leadership roles in churches across the world, that you would give us calm heads as we lead our flocks in different moments and different complexities, as we help point people's hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus and to trusting in you as we walk through this complex valley with you. And we pray for your blessing at this time in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
My guests on the Pastor's Heart, Gary Koo, Anglican Bishop for Western Sydney and leading the COVID-19 Task Force for the Sydney Anglican Church, Eugene Hoare, Pastor of the Presbyterian Church, Grace Point at Burwood in Sydney, and Dr. Imgard Pascoe, and Imgard, a GP working here in Sydney. And this has been the Pastor's Heart. We'll look forward to your company next week. Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover the Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.